WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Americans in the post-September 11th world have gained a new awareness of Islamic fundamentalism. Filmmaker Tarek Masood's interest is lifelong and deeply personal. He was raised in a middle-class family in Bangladesh, but when he was young, his father became a born-again Muslim and sent him to a madrasa, an Islamic school where children are educated in prayer and ritual. His largely autobiographical film, The Claybird, deals with the effects of religious orthodoxy on a Bengali family at a time of turmoil. It's set in what was then East Pakistan, just as West Pakistan's military regime began a savage campaign of repression that led to civil war. The conflict killed an estimated 3 million Bengalis and resulted in the creation of the nation of Bangladesh. Tarek Masood made The Claybird with his American-born wife, Catherine. The film has won several awards, including the International Critics Prize at the 2002 Cannes Festival. The film tells the story of a family whose father has become a devout Muslim. He sent his son to a madrasa and imposed religious restrictions on his wife and daughter. I asked Tarek Masood how his own father's religious awakening affected their family.
So my mother was the first victim. She was, she was only 14, and she grew up in a very liberal atmosphere. But suddenly, my father put her under purda, which is kind of religious confinement, not letting her go out and mix with, men or other boys. So that's how my father's new identity started. But the next target was myself. I was sent to madrasa because the village that I grew up in, it's very pagan, with a lot of mystic festivity and all that. And he thought this is not good for me. And he wanted to protect me from those pagan influences.
So it was to give you a deeply religious upbringing. Was it a cultural shock for you to be with kids who were not of your background at all?
Yes, it was a cultural shock, but I was kind of a very docile boy. I never said no to my father, and I was very curious. And as I was very much curious with this all pagan festivities that I grew up with in village, when I was sent to madrasa, even madrasa interior seemed to be very interesting, very strange, with this Quranic chants and then azan and all these rituals.
You said azan. Explain what you mean by that.
Azan is this Islamic the call for prayer, which is five times a day, and particularly in the at dawn time, when we were we used to get up, we were asked to get up and do all this ablution, this ritual of cleansing with water. But I really felt slowly. I spent like 8 years there. And slowly, I felt like I was very much suffocating. It's very much of a very static. It's very much contrast. When I was to come back from the madrasa to my village for vacation or something, the whole village would burst on me with color and vibrancy. And that was wonderful.
In the post-September 11th world, I think a lot of Americans look at this kind of school with, rows of young boys in prayer caps reciting the Quran as a rigid, even menacing kind of setting for instilling an anti-Western paternalistic kind of orthodoxy. I mean, do you think that that sense of the madrasa is accurate today?
I don't think really, because, first of all, madrasa is definitely very strict. It can be compared with any religious, convent schools, possibly Catholic schools or something. It's not very different. But the picture we're getting of this very violent and militant, look of this madrasa is not really compatible with the kind of madrasa that I have experienced myself, or even today's madrasa in Bangladesh. Maybe in some cases in Afghanistan or Pakistan, you definitely have much more militant. But, let me tell you one thing. It's not those orthodox naive madrasas that these militants are coming from. There's not really the breeding ground of little Talibans, as far as I know. But it's some of those madrasas much more integrated to mainstream education, rather I would say Western education. They're much more equipped with, you know, English and other scientific knowledge. And those are the madrasas are becoming more dangerous and potential place of, you know, recruiting for any kind of political, you know, militarism.
This film, which is set in this village in Bangladesh in 1971, is in part about contending visions of what Islam represents. And there was this compelling scene, I thought, was a concert in which a man and a woman are singing to a crowd out under a tree, and they take turns singing about different religious themes. What's being said here in this exchange? What is this all about?
So this is a kind of a debate which is called in Islamic word bahas. In musical form, in narrative forms, in narrative musical form, is a very popular phenomena. And in the film you saw for 2 and 3 minutes or so, but it starts at 10 o'clock, these two persons start singing and debating, and it goes on till 6 o'clock in the morning. And it's an open-air concert, and it's mostly improvised. There's a common themes and lines and refrain, but most of the thing is improvised. And it's an incredible phenomenon, but it's very popular.
Let's just hear a little of this, and I'd like you to tell us about it.
আমি আপনার মেয়ের বসি শরীয়তের হইয়া মারিফতের বিষয় কিছু সওয়াল যাব গাইয়া বেয়াদবি নেবেন না দেখাই আমার ভান হাদিস কুরআন মানেন না কেমন মুসলমান মোল্লা মুন্সি খেপা কেন আপনাদের উপর গো অন্তরে রাইখো আল্লাহর ডর
কুরআন হাদিস বুঝতে কিছু জ্ঞানের প্রয়োজন দুই পাতা সেই পারা পয়রা বুঝবে কি মদন নিজেরাই বোঝে না অন্যরে বোঝায় সব লোকের ভুল বোঝাইয়া কাঠমোল্লা রাখায় বেহেস্ত লোক করি না হাই নাই
The whole thing of the song is like, you know, what should be the relationship of God and humankind. The stricter, you know, creed of Islam, the Sharia, which is called, according to that, I mean, you know, it would be the fear of God, have fear of God, and the greed or the of heaven. You should have fear of God. And the Sufi, the guru, the who is taking the position of guru voice, he's saying love of God, not fear of God. So it's basically the two discourse on Islam.
One of the interesting things about the film is this young boy who is at the center of it, at the center of the film, is sent away to this Islamic school, the madrasa. But when he comes back to his village, he attends, you know, festivals and ceremonies from that I guess are Hindu. Give us a little bit of a sense of sort of to what the relationship is among these different religious and cultural groups in the villages of Bangladesh. Is that
so
the way
of the
it works?
Thing is, yes, yeah. One of the thing is like this boat festival you have seen. This is it happens once a year with the puja, Hindu puja time is called Vishwakarma. This is the puja of the artisans. And the goddess Vishwakarma is celebrated. And now it's exclusively a Hindu ritual. But as you see in the film, it's predominantly participated by the Muslim peasants with beard and topi and long gowns and everything. So that is much more representing the greater culture in rural culture in Bangladesh. It's very harmonic. The Muslims, there's not much differences. The Muslims attend the Hindu festivity and the vice versa. And that is, you see, among the ordinary people. But when it comes to the class of Qazi, particularly this kind of newborn Muslim conscious.
Qazi being the father in the film.
Father, right? Yeah. Here they come, try to, you know, distance themselves, this educated Muslim, you know, population or section, I would say, try to distance themselves from any pagan, you know, culture or, you know, traditions, as if these are not, you know, Muslim enough. These are Hindu or indigenous.
Tariq Masood, you mentioned that when you were very young, your father sent you away to a madrasa, an Orthodox Islamic school, and that this was because your father had become, you know, I believe you described him, a born-again Muslim. I'm wondering, are you a practicing Muslim today?
Well, I don't have a very clear answer to that. Yes, in a very narrow sense of the word, I'm not a practicing Muslim because I don't go to prayer. I don't do prayer five times a day. But at the same time, I do have a very profound respect for any believers, and I respect people's sensitivity and their our feeling, and I also in a way appreciate the Sufi mystic tradition of Islam. I'm very much influenced by Jalaluddin Rumi and so many other, and also very famous Bengali mystic poet like Lalon and others. I mean, you know, Tagore, the Nobel Prize winning poet of Bengal, was very much influenced by Lalon, this mystic Sufi. Now, what I'm trying to say is I'm very much interested and intrigued by the religiosity as a whole, but I can't say that I'm a practicing believer.
Tariq Masood. His film The Claybird opens in New York and San Francisco on April 30th and in other cities in coming weeks. Today is the birth date of the late composer and bassist Charles Mingus, who was born 82 years ago. Let's celebrate with music from his 1959 recording Blues and Roots. This is Wednesday Night Prayer Meeting. Charles Mingus with Wednesday Night Prayer Meeting.